Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents The Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by TJS Ceramic Studio, Serendipity Studio Gallery and Gifts, Chasers Food and Spirits, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Jesse Moffitt Entertainment, and the Sioux Falls Arts Council. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everyone. First-time listeners, thanks for joining us. Regular listeners, thank you for your loyalty. All of you are appreciated. Later in the show, we talk to actor, musical director Devin Bassart as he talks about the upcoming musical Head Over Heels at Dakota Wesleyan University. In just a few minutes, we find out what inspires artist Daya Thorne to paint so beautifully. Quick note to pass along, Midtown Coffee Radio Hour, of which I happen to host, has a live recording show tonight at the Icon in downtown Sioux Falls. Music, skits, special guests are all part of tonight's Midtown Mixtape. Coming up in a few minutes, we get to know artist Daya Thorne. Later, we hear from actor musical director Devin Bassart about his love for theater. But first, let's pop the cork on this bubbly little show.
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty, we can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party.
Whatever you're drinking and whatever you're drinking it out of might very well be determined by where and when you happen to be listening. My choice, as per usual, a Jasper Newton. That's Jack Daniel's Diet Coke with a Lime. For you, whether it's a cup of coffee, glass of milk, bottle of wine, or a bottle of water, or a mug of beer, a cocktail glass, or flute of champagne, lift it high and toast to fake spring. Mother Nature has been kind this winter, but remember, it is fake spring. But Mother Nature, for now, will take it, and cheers to you. Speaking of cheers, which just happens to rhyme with beers, say cheers with a beer or your favorite cocktail at Chasers, West 12th Street and Ellis Road. Make sure you grab some food while you're at it, and join me on Monday nights for Dave Holly Hour Trivia, starting at 7. This coming Monday, it's Cheaters Trivia. The usual rules are out until the final round.
Honorable mention.
What over the past week made Dave laugh, guffaw, chuckle, chortle, giggle, smile, or maybe even shed a tear of joy? It's a tie. Yeah, last Thursday night was yet another amazing show for the Vaudies, of which I'm co-host and co-producer along with Emily Wilson. We had the highest attendance to date, and we were thrilled with the audience response and our 2024 venue, Remedy at 611. Then Saturday night, we went from the laughter of Thursday night to very poignant play. Yes, This Is My Body at Augustana. Very moving and provocative. Co-written locally by Richard Swanson and directed by Jaina Fitzsimmons. They are friends, and they've been on this program, Jaina, several times. Bravo, my friends, bravo. Later, we talk theater with actor Devin Bassart. Up next, we get a feel for the art of Daya Thorne on the Dave Holly Hour. Are you ready to uncover the secrets of luck? Prepare to be mesmerized as we invite you to our newest art exhibit, Luck. Step into a world where chance meets creativity, where the roll of the dice and the flip of a coin inspire breathtaking works of art. From paintings that capture the essence of serendipity to photos that embody fortune's touch, Luck explores the mystical forces that shape our lives. Join us for an unforgettable journey through the realms of luck and destiny. This exhibit promises to ignite your imagination and leave you in awe. Mark your calendars and join us at Serendipity Studio Gallery and Gifts during March from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Admission is free, so bring your friends and family for an experience like no other. You can see it live at Serendipity Studio, located downtown Sioux Falls in the historic Shriver Building at 230 South Phillips Avenue on the second floor. Don't miss your chance to be inspired by luck. See you at the exhibit.
Are you an artist? Need some funding to further your art? There's a great opportunity for you through a Sioux Falls Arts Council program. The Artist Microgrant Program gives away several microgrants to local artists, no matter what art discipline you're in. Unlike more traditional grants, a microgrant is very easy to apply for. Go to artssiouxfalls.org. If you haven't done so yet, create a listing on the Artist Directory, which is beneficial in its own way. Then go to the Artist Microgrants page and apply online. The process is simple. Find out more about the Sioux Falls Arts Council as well online at artssiouxfalls.org.
Check out the new ceramic studio in Sioux Falls, conveniently located off Kiwanis Avenue on 5th Street. TJS Ceramics, inside Oscar's Mini Storage. We have thousands of classic vintage ceramic mold items and several new items too. TJS Ceramics offers classes, special open studio nights, and completed ready-to-purchase items. Bisque studio time or painting parties are available. Visit TJS Ceramics Studio in person today or email tjsceramics@gmail.com for more details.
For him, every day is a holiday. Here again, Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, just say it along because you're getting so used to it. After 219 episodes, you should be, right? It's always a pleasure to talk Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. Always a pleasure to have a new guest on as well. And after meeting her just over a year ago, it's like, there's going to be a time where I have to get her on, and then, well, Luke Tatchy beat me to it. He puts her in the Gallery magazine. Daya Thorne, how are you?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and it's always great to take a look at your art because it's vivid. I just like the way that things come off the canvas. Everything looks so fun. Is that the attitude you go in when you start painting?
Yes, it is a positive vibe, I would say. I was born in the Caribbean, and so I was just surrounded by color all my life. And so that's a lot of my inspiration comes from the colors that I was exposed to.
All right. And, you know, I asked you beforehand, I just wanted to make sure that I pronounced your name right. And then you told me, there's a lengthier name, isn't there?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, my home name is Deyanira Teresa de Jesus Sanchez Laguardia Torin.
Woo!
There you have it.
Does that fit on a driver's license?
No. Actually, when I became a United States citizen, I shortened it to Deyanira Teresa Torin.
Okay. So. Yeah.
Super short and super.
Well, and it's easy to remember now because it's just Deya.gallery.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, and that's the best way to go about it. How many pieces do you have in your portfolio?
Oh, my goodness.
Thousands?
Not thousands, but hundreds.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What inspires you?
Oh, my goodness. Everything. I think I'm an emotional painter in many ways.
Okay.
I love feeling peace, and so when I paint, I try to find that peace and happiness and try to bring it out. Sometimes it's not, depending if I'm feeling something, it might turn out a little darker, but most of the time, I try to paint light and beauty.
So when you started off, was it while you were in the Caribbean? You know, shortly after being born, that you were getting the art feeling and everything?
Yes, yes. When I was a little girl, I wanted to paint, but my parents could not buy the supplies. They were expensive, never thought about it. But I remember as a child walking through a neighborhood of people who were rich, and there was a can of trash that fell.
Uh-huh.
And so there was some crayons on the floor, on the street, and I picked those up, And it was a tore up magazine page. And I took it home and I tried to recreate that in the back of my school notebook. And it was Baloo Bear and Mowgli. I did not know who they were.
Unaware
and
of
I
the
tried
characters.
To do that. And I was just so happy to have some color. And so I did that. And that was the beginning of that. And then in high school, a lot of my classmates, I guess, noticed my artistic abilities a little bit. So they asked me to do their artwork for them. And they would just pay
me. They paid you?
Yeah. So I thought, okay.
You know, some people pay their way through college. You did through high school.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, they just paid me a little bit, but I thought, okay, I guess there's something there.
All right. So you started off with crayons.
Yes.
But you weren't using a coloring book, were you? You were just recreating on your own. So you didn't have to worry about staying in the lines
or anything. Even though I tried to a little bit. But yes, that was the beginning. Just doing that. And after that, I in 1987, my husband got me my first set of real oil paints.
Wow.
And
you went
brushes.
To oils.
Yes.
Not.
I went straight to oils.
Okay.
So then I started doing that. And then shortly after, I started having babies. So and that took away my free time. And so 6 children later, when they were growing up, then I decided to, every Sunday, they bought some time to just paint.
Okay.
So after dinner was done, dishes done, everybody just kind of went to their room or whatever they were doing, and I just took my time to paint every single Sunday. And that got me to the point where I am now, where I feel a little more sure
of
my artistic abilities. But, it took me a while.
Yeah, well, it definitely shows, though. I mean, it was worth the wait to see your art then. So has it always been just crayons and paint?
Yes.
Or any charcoal? Or did you experiment with anything?
You know what happened to me is that I fell in love with acrylics. Acrylics are so forgiving.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
And I love that. And they dry pretty fast. And oils, they take a while. So then I was like, when I want to spend time on something that I know that I want to take my time, I do oils.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the same thing with acrylics, but, you know, it's just a different feeling. So
right,
I do a little bit of that and watercolors as well.
What shows up the best? In terms of brush strokes and so forth, is that going to be in the oils or the acrylics?
I like the acrylics. They have a lot of depth in there.
Yeah.
I don't have to keep applying too much.
True. Yeah.
You know, so it all depends on the brand of colors that you can get. I mean, you can get different brands that will be a little more saturated than others in the oils. And also in the acrylics. So it all depends on that.
Yeah. And you said you did watercolor as well. Huh?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
I do. Actually, I make, there are missionaries that serve in these areas from our churches.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are transferred from Sioux Falls and go someplace else, I always send them away with a little painting.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. What's your favorite, size format wise on a canvas and so forth?
Oh my goodness. The bigger, the better. So,
okay.
I don't like tiny canvases. I feel constricted by it a little bit. I like to do big, big pieces.
What?
The smallest that I got is 16 by 20.
That just might work
up
there.
Which will be
right
perfect for that space right
yes,
there.
Perfect for that. 16 by 20.
Yes.
Start on it.
Okay, I will. I think I will, Dave.
All right. After lots of projects, because you do stay busy.
Yes.
And in fact, you were just showing me a picture of a painting that you're doing for a son.
Yes.
And describe that for people.
Well, I have been doing just finished this painting for my son. He had been camping in this area. Near Rapid City, a couple of hours up north, and it's beautiful wilderness. And he started camping there when he was 10 years old, and he's turning 36.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked his mother to make that painting for his new office. He has a new office at home. It's gorgeous. And so he asked me to do that, and I just finished that. And it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's called the Short Pines. And it's just beautiful prairies, just you can see the mountains in the background and the pine trees and the colors and the sun coming in. And it just has such a gorgeous, I think it will bring a lot of peace as mm-hmm. I see, look at it. That's for me anyway.
Yeah, so it's his place. I mean, he just, it's kind of like his zen or whatever you want to put for it. But
yes,
what I loved is as you were describing that, I was watching you and the way that you were closing your eyes and moving your hands and so forth. It's like, okay, this is somebody that truly, it's not just, oh, I painted this because this is the way it is. I mean, I could tell the passion was there.
Yeah. It's in my soul.
Yes.
I feel like
you consider it a God-given talent?
I believe so. I feel more and more that I was called to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while because I started painting portraits after my dad passed away from COVID, which is very sad, 3 years ago. And I wasn't able to go see him for that. So I painted my dad. So a year after he passed, I painted my dad, and he came out of the canvas. Just there he was, and I was just talking to my dad. And then after that, because I wanted to paint Jesus Christ for many, many years, but I felt like I just can't do that. You have to have the essence of that person, come through. And so when I did my dad, yeah.
You could feel that.
I could feel that. Yeah. Matter of fact, I sometimes touch it and say, good morning, Dad. Because it's my dad.
Yeah,
he's
wonderful.
There.
Yeah.
And so after I was done painting my dad, I heard that voice. I said, you ready?
Oh, wow.
And I started painting the Savior. And he has been such a gift.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Thank you.
And in the meantime, he's given you a great gift of color and expression. And what's the most common word people use about your art? When you're at a reception or people just come by and say, hey, I'm interested in something, what's the word that they use the most?
I would say vibrant, colors.
Vibrant, okay.
Happy.
Yeah, I was close. I was going with vivid.
Vivid, yes.
Yeah, and they are. I mean, they're happy. Yeah, I mean, you were talking about creating from emotion. And sometimes, we're all human. There's going to be some dark moments and so forth. But
right.
Yeah, for the most part, you can tell you're a pretty happy person.
No, thank you.
Because of the color coming through.
I try to.
So what does your family from back home think of your artistic ability now? And what does your family here think of your artistic ability?
Well, my family back home, they think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was able to paint a little bit for my dad because my dad was a critic for me.
Okay.
So you remember that picture that I painted of Mowgli and Baloo?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I showed it to my dad, I said, Dad, look what I painted. He said, That was
and
it.
And how old were you at that time?
About 10, 12. So I was like, okay. I need to work on that because obviously he didn't like it. And the funny thing about it is that when I was painting my dad, making that portrait of him, I could hear his voice saying, you are really good.
Aww.
You are really good. But fix a little bit about the mouth over here and do this. I'm like, oh, Dad, it is you.
Yeah, but so. Are you your... So he was a critic, but are you your own worst critic like so many artists are?
Absolutely, absolutely. Many times I'm painting something, every time actually, it goes to an ugly stage where you go, oh, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I keep going. And I'm like, okay, I got this. So I just keep going, and there it is, and it comes out. But yeah, I can be my worst critic for sure. But in many ways, I also have to be my best critic, and my best. I have to hurrah and say, hey, a big cheer. You're doing okay.
Took your
you
own
are
horn
okay.
When you've done something,
you
right?
are okay. But I have to believe in myself because this is how things started happening for me in mm-hmm. art. Is that I started to prepare. For an exhibition. And I said, prepare for an exhibition so it will happen. So I did that. I started to paint. And then somebody invited me to come to an exhibition in Aberdeen. That was my first one.
Uh-huh.
And then so on and so on. And so I'm like, I'm going to prepare to do this. And so then it happens. So one of my paintings right now is in Washington, D.C. at the Senate office.
Really?
Of Jan Thune. Yes, he's there.
That's fantastic.
It is.
Yeah. What do you like most about the point where you know it's done then? Is this a big feeling of accomplishment, of pride?
It is.
What do you have?
It is. I feel pretty happy when I'm done because I have, and the funny thing is that I sometimes don't finish a painting for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I have some that I have walked away because you have to. I usually cover my canvas and walk away. Then I come back with fresh eyes.
Cover it even.
Day.
So
next
it's not
day.
Staring you in the face or anything.
Yeah.
Huh?
Because then I'm stuck. I feel like I'm not progressing.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk away for maybe a couple of days and then I come back and cover it and I go, okay, now I know what I have to do.
Yeah.
See, because if I keep staring at it, there's not going to be any changes. I have to do something else in order to walk away, think about it, or forget about it most of the time, and then come back with fresh eyes and say, oh, I know what it needs. So, yeah.
So how many easels do you have with canvases in your studio right now of things you're working on?
One. I only
just
have
one.
About one big easel at home because I paint in my kitchen.
Oh.
And it's not, I like it because uh-huh. the ceilings are high.
Okay.
And it's a lot of space, and I feel like it's an expansion because there's other rooms at home that I could use, but the ceilings are low. I'm like, no. I have to have a place where my spirit soars, and so that's my color. So I paint there. So I have a big, big easel, and so I just, I usually have a canvas on it, mm-hmm. either that I'm painting on or that I'm going to start to paint. I usually don't like to have a blank canvas on for too long. I feel like it's an ominous kind of thing. I like to keep it always with something. So
you just finished up the project for your son. What are you going to do now? What's the current project or what's upstairs?
Many projects going on right now, mm-hmm. all at once. I seem to always have something that I'm working on. Right now, I just finished also a painting of the Savior walking with the cross and mm-hmm. Simon from the scriptures. And that's going to be in a book coming up about the crucifixion. And it's an Easter book.
Well, fantastic. And so that's
going
to
be
all
there.
Over the place.
Yes. 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 And coming up next week, we're going to be installing a couple of my pieces in the Easter Art Show in Omaha.
Okay.
And they're going to be speaking there on March 15th as well.
Excellent.
When they open the show. Yeah. So I always have lots of projects because there is people that have asked me to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Or I have something in the back, you know, a list of things that I need to do. So yeah, I have some. Actually, I'm gonna be pretty soon starting on a project painting things from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
I want to paint a lot of island scenes. Mm. It doesn't mean the land itself.
Right.
People, the culture,
customs,
things like that. I have some, that project is coming up. So.
What's your favorite color?
Oh, goodness. That's a good question. You know, I don't have a favorite color.
Mm-hmm.
I like all colors because all of the colors bring something different to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all make me vibrate in a certain way, I would say. They touch me in a certain way. So pink, there's, you know, the blue, green, orange, you know, I mean, there's something that happened to me.
I love the trills and your colors.
They are. Sometimes I can almost hear music.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm starting but yeah, all colors. I wouldn't say that I have a favorite color, but I, that is good. I would say that and I have said that for many years, I just love all colors.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to my clothing, that's a different story.
You said that you can always hear music. Do you paint to music a lot?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Or depending, if I'm painting, let's say, a sacred work,
mm-hmm.
I listen to something that is sacred.
Okay.
Meaning somebody talking about the scriptures. So it guides my mind when I'm doing that. So, and if it's something that is like, mountain flowers or rivers or things, and then I have, you know, could be jazz, could be, you know, any kind of music that is inspiring that kind of reminds me of what I'm doing.
Well, when you paint that sunset for me, listen to jazz.
Sounds
okay.
good. Sounds
I
good.
That,
that's a good idea.
Yeah. so you do a lot of commission work. Is there a particular theme that people like? Are they, you know, like, I want you to paint my dog, or I want you to paint a landscape, or flowers? Is there any one in particular that people go for more?
No, I would say, I don't. I have been asked before to paint a pet, but I.
Mm-hmm. Not your forte.
Thought about it. They thought about it, but they didn't go through
okay.
with, you know, that they wanted to do it. They just thought about it. But no, I would say people go for nature, natural, you know, things mm-hmm. of nature, yeah. mountains. I did one for a dentist here in town. He asked me to paint the mountains. And I said, what season? And so he said, fall. So then he just gave me full range of, he just said, do whatever you think. And I came up with this idea. So I just did this beautiful foliage, and it has there's a feeling about it because it's a little foggy at the same time.
Okay.
So it's beautiful. So
what colors did you go with for the foliage?
Orange and reds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you have some aspen trees in there then?
Yes.
Oh, love aspen trees. Those
are beautiful. Yeah, me too. Those are my favorite. They have a beautiful sound too. If you have
walked
through the forest,
yeah,
they have a beautiful sound, and I like that. I can hear that too. So,
what gets you excited about art in general?
Oh, that is never ends.
Oh, true.
They never ends. The possibilities are endless. You can do so many things, and I don't like to, if you know how I am as an artist, I don't leave me myself. I like to paint everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I always thought, I like to sometimes feel like I get a slap, you know? Like, you learning, see, that's not as easy as you think. And, I love just painting everything and not be limited by things that people just say that these are, you have to keep in them these boundaries, you know, and just paint this. I like to just, art is just beautiful. There's so many beautiful things. Yesterday I discovered this, I was looking at a book about Michelangelo and how he did this sculpture of this guy and how his pinky finger was like this down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that to yourself, you see this muscle. It tightens and you can see it. And he did that. Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to know the human body in such a detail that he was able to do that and carve that into a rock, into a human figure, I'm blown away by his, you know, he was just such a master. So there's a lot of great artists, and I love anybody that paints. I feel like these people that put limitations on themselves, and they said, I only can draw a stick. But I said, yeah, it's your stick. Even if you make a stick, it's yours.
True, and it is art.
And love it.
Yeah.
Just flaunting. This is my stick. This is mine. This is what I do. Do it. It's okay. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Love what you do, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So if art is never ending and unlimited, where do you feel you are at this point in your art journey? Hit stride, or?
Oh, I'm just in the beginning. I think I'm just the beginning. It's like the tip of the iceberg, you know? You never know what's in the underneath. I feel like I'm just beginning. And it's really true, you know? I'm still pretty young in years. Not really, but.
Yes, you are.
I feel like there is so much I'm going to learn still. And yeah. I love learning, you know? Yeah.
I always like to end with two questions. What your answer is to the first question means we might not need to ask the second. But when you are not part of the arts scene, what do you like to see in art or be entertained by?
Oh, my goodness. That's a good question. I like to see in art anything that moves me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of art out there that you I love it when if I walk into a museum or a place where there's a piece of art, I'm just referring to a painting because that's what I do. If I walk into a room and that thing pulls me so much so that I have to get close to it, and I love it. I remember going to a museum in Omaha, and there was a painting of this gentleman, and I just stared at it because I felt like he was almost speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's art that touches you. It's like it just gets you. So.
All right. Final question then. Any other hobbies?
Oh, many. Oh, many. I play pickleball. As of late, mm-hmm. I've been playing pickleball. I love that. I love cooking and baking. And I'm a second degree black belt.
Oh, my goodness.
So I can, yes. And I also,
so I can.
Yes.
I'm going to use that from now on.
And I love everything crafty, reading, friends. I mean, I have many things that I love as a, I love poetry. I write poetry. Also, I do there are so many things. I don't know. But yes.
Well, no baking, wonder you always have
cooking,
projects. Okay,
yes,
so baking
and painting, of course, is my
yeah.
It brings me, you know, if I freeze my soul.
Yeah.
So.
All right, baking. What's your best baked item that you make?
Oh my goodness, there are so many, but I think people rave about my coconut cake and also my carrot cake.
Carrot cake?
Yes.
You hit the jackpot now.
So a painting
and
carrot cake. Okay.
All right. Oh, Dea Thorne, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you more. Appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Comedy magician and hypnotist Jesse Moffitt's right. He can't play the piano, but he can sure entertain crowds with his amazing magic and clever quips. His shows always make the participants the stars, especially when they've fallen asleep on stage. They've been hypnotized. Are you the party planner in your group? Then you owe it to your group to make the event magical, even if it puts you to sleep. Here's how.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's JESSEMOFFITT. Or call 605-929-0964.
Check out the new ceramic studio in Sioux Falls, conveniently located off Kiwanis Avenue on 5th Street. TJS Ceramics, inside Oscar's mini storage. Bisque, studio time, painting parties, and finished items are available. Visit TJS Ceramic Studio in Sioux Falls today.
Once again, Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. Of course I'm going to say it. It's always a pleasure to talk Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. And always a pleasure to have a new guest on. Oh, goodness, I have seen this man in many, many things, in many, many venues, and he's going to be at another one yet. Devin Bessart, how are you?
I am good.
Glad to hear that. You are just a busy, busy person.
Very much.
Because I see that you just got cast as the voice of the, do we call it a flower?
Plant.
Okay. For the
sure.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an Old Town Dinner Theater. And that is, a 4 or 5 week run.
It's May. Yeah, it's all of May and then the first weekend of June, I
believe.
Yeah,
so that's busy, busy, busy for
mm-hmm.
you. But prior to that, coming up next weekend is Head Over Heels at Dakota Wesleyan University in the Black Box Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I know about it at this point is that it's a musical.
Yes.
And it's a medieval theme, but
yeah.
With the Go-Go's.
It is.
All right. Tell us more.
So this musical is about the Kingdom of Arcadia and the royal family. They receive a prophecy from the Oracle, or a message from the Oracle, which is my character. I'm also the musical director, and to go to the Oracle, and then the Oracle has these prophecies, and if all of these prophecies come true, they will lose their famous quote-unquote beat that they are known for. and mayhem then thus ensues from there, because the king's like, mer, hot-headed, and he's stubborn, and he's like, hey, we gotta leave and go kill this magical stag in the woods and defeat this other king in a different kingdom. And we're all good. And the queen's like, I doubt that, but sure, we'll go with it. So they all up and leave and just start treading off into the forest, and more fun things happen on the way.
All right, so you're the Oracle, or you're the music director.
Mm-hmm.
Are you also the producer of this?
No.
Okay.
That would be the college. It's also, I believe, in conjunction with the high school as well.
Oh, excellent.
So we do have one high schooler in the cast.
Okay.
And she plays the servant to one of the daughters of the royal family.
And then some DWU students as well?
Yep. Dakota Wesleyan students. Yeah. And then myself and Mike Richards. Yeah. And then I believe she was a student, but not anymore, but has done stuff with Dan, who is the director, Brittany Kaufman.
Okay.
And she is the queen as well.
How did you get involved with this?
Well, I saw last summer when they shortly announced it, I heard through a little bird somewhere in Mitchell that they were going to be doing this. I then messaged Dan and be like, Dan, I want to do this show. Hear me out. If you were cool plugging me in during Tech Week, I would make sure I have all these parts memorized, because it's only like four scenes the Oracle is actually in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if you plug me in during Tech Week, I'll be make sure I have my parts and everything ready to go. And he's like, you know what? Would you like to musically direct? And I was like, well, okay then, let's go for it.
So instead of just Tech Week, you've been there since the beginning?
Yep, I've been there. Yeah. So we had auditions late January when they came back from their break. And then pretty much all of February has been rehearsal. And here we are. And I'm like, this is kind of a quick little schedule for this type of show. But we're doing it. We're getting there.
Have you worked at the DWU in the past?
I have not.
So this is a new adventure for you.
Yeah, I've done the community theater in Mitchell.
Okay.
I directed, musically directed, choreographed, was in slash did partial lighting design for Putnam a few years ago.
Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
You have quite an extensive resume, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I have noticed that you just seem to never stop.
Pretty much.
You are kind of the Energizer Bunny of community theater in this area.
Yeah. Well, I haven't done any shows since it was the Sioux Empire Community Theater.
Well, you haven't been involved in TPP, but you've been involved in other things.
A bunch of things.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
No doubt about that. But you are kind of like the male version of Rose Reed.
But yeah, pretty much.
You're both going. Have you acted with her before?
I have a few times.
I figured you had.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that I remembered some. But man, I tell you, it is great to have somebody like yourself so involved in theater. I really appreciate everything that you bring to the stage. When you go in and audition for something, what do you sell yourself on?
Good question.
I get one per interview.
Usually, I usually like vocals, my singing talent, and also usually it's a hidden talent, but I've had 9 years of dance experience. So when people look at me, they go, and then I do the dance audition. They go, oh, so you do have experience. Alrighty then.
And it is always fun when you can do something like that and, you know, kind of blow away somebody's stereotype, if you will. And it's like, watch out, watch this. It's kind of the hold my beer moment.
Yep. I remember when I first auditioned for the theater program at USD. At the time, it was Bruce. I can't remember his last name right at the moment.
It was Bruce.
And I knew he judged Best of Show. So he saw me in Roosevelt's, at the time, show choir, quote unquote. And he was like, you're a big guy, but you move like a cat. I was like, hey, welcome, Bruce.
Hence the 9 years of dance.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a nickname for something like that? Like,
No, like Twinkle Toes or nothing
Devin
like that.
Devin the Cat. You know.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cartoon.
Oh, Ernest. That was last name. Now it just popped to me. There it is. It came.
All right. What got you into entertainment? I'll put it that way. Because I have the feeling it's more than just acting for you.
Yeah, this all started many, many, many moons in the living room. growing up, I always performed for parents or for my parents to put on little mini shows. I performed for the babysitters. I was apparently really easy to babysit. We got pizza. We'd watch a movie. I might sing and dance for you. And then when the oven timer went off, off to bed I went.
The oven timer for off to bed?
Yep.
I thought that would have been the pizza. Or did you actually order in pizza?
Yep, they already ordered the pizza. And then the babies, the girl next door came over. And
see, when I was
there, we go.
When I was that age and doing very similar type things, we didn't have pizza delivery.
Oh.
So it was frozen pizza and ding, that would go off. And it's like, there's pizza now.
Yeah.
And now we're cooking with gas. What draws you to continue acting?
Always love the vibe of the audience and seeing how they're reacting to it and if they're having a good time or be like, oh, well, they may be enjoying it. They're just being a little silent today.
You know, it's interesting.
Or sometimes I'm like, these are the jokes, people.
Yeah. And it's interesting how that can happen, too, because one time I used to do some clowning.
Oh, yeah.
I was at a nursing home over in Minnesota, one of the small towns. Mm-hmm. And they were having a carnival day. And they had a really great activities director that had all the staff wearing red noses and had all these great carnival games. And like all but one person in the facility was still with it.
Okay.
And, you know, it was great. And one of the things I always did, I would hand out a sticker. It was a sticker of a clown. And I would have inside a glove, I'd have a little squeaker. And I'd tell him that this is a magic sticker. You'd press him right on his nose, beep. And, you know, most of them would look down at that and then look at me and go, ha, 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 you know, just have a good time with it. Well, there was this one gal that I thought, you know, everything I'd been doing is just there in her wheelchair. Nothing.
There she is.
And so I go over and I do the sticker bit and the squeak. And she looks up at me and she says, well, I'll be damned. And then on the way out, as I'm waving goodbye to everybody and saying thanks for such a great day, all of a sudden I get a tug on my arm. And it's this gal. And she says, thank you for a wonderful day of entertainment.
Oh, my heart.
Yeah. The person I thought was getting the least probably got the most that day.
That's
why it's always so interesting to read an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you're just going to have uproarious laughter, standing ovations. You know, you have to take the bad with the good.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it, also having a great cast to work with also
that
helps.
That is so true. Yeah, when you have the right people in the right spots, makes a huge, huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so directing-wise, what got you started there? Was it just an extension of the acting, or was
it kind of? So my first show that I musically directed was back in USD for the student theater company, and we did Evil Dead, the musical, which is a lot of fun. We were also the first and last production on the Knutson stage that the student theater did. They're still finding glitter to this day. So I've heard. But with my choral background in high school and stuff, I'm like, I can read music. I can plunk out parts on a piano, but I can't do like full accompaniment.
Right.
So I'd have to have a rehearsal accompanist or someone else to actually do the full accompaniment. And yeah, that was my first foray into musically directing. And then I also did take directing at USD. So I had the basic knowledge of that. So when I found out they were doing Putnam, at the community theater in Mitchell, which this was my third time doing that show, by the way, triple dipping in that one. I was like, I've pretty much got everything I need. And right. They're like, great, we'll take you.
What has been the best or favorite role that you've had or production? Actually, answer both.
Probably favorite role would be Shrek, still to this day. That was so much fun. My arms were stained green for about a summer, but hey, it's worth it.
Right.
Love that role. The show is great. And then my other probably favorite that, I did really enjoy Spring Awakening when we did that at Mankato. So I've been around the block in the university circuit.
Yes.
started as a coyote, technically honorary jackrabbit because I did Prairie Rep for three summers. So, and you had to, you do have to pay for a college credit, at least one college credit. And that's how you would get the tuition or whatever your payment for the summer type of a deal. We also had to write a paper, a 2-page paper. That was fun. Of our experiences. And then I transferred to Mankato my senior year. And the head of the department's like, why are you transferring your senior year? I then told him everything that was going on. He's like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
So you became a Maverick.
And then I became a Maverick and I finished there.
What has been the role that has eluded you so far that you are just itching to play?
There's a couple. I would probably say Max Bialystock.
Oh, producers.
Mm-hmm. Horton in Seussical.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to. I just don't think right as of right now we don't have the people to do the said show. But I would love Leo Frank in Parade.
Yeah. Whew, you got quite the list.
Oh yes. there's a few.
What is the best part of being in theater?
I think just being able to open up and just play with and just feed off of everybody and see what's going on, what works, what doesn't work. And then, yeah, you just build your character and everything just right off of that and off to the races you go.
Yeah. Now, one of the things you mentioned that I was reading about you was the fact that you've done a lot of summer stock type things. How do you feel that helps you after going through, you know, classes to be an actor? High school plays, college plays, and productions and musicals that you are in, and then you still got to do something during the summer. How does that improve an actor?
I would say it's just honing in on those skills that you've been taking during the classes, especially with Prairie Rep in particular. For the summer, you are stationed in an area of the program. So I did costume shop because I figured I'm not good as manual labor, so let's not do the actual shop build. And that then I heat. No, not my forte. This is also before the new performing arts pack 2 was being built. So we were still doing stuff at Donor.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was also before they updated their HVAC system. So they had a choice of you can air condition the theater or we have to air condition the rest of the building. And so for performances did the AC get turned on in the theater. So we'd be practicing at 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, 95 plus odd degrees outside, full costumes.
Yeah. I was thankful that
having fun.
The one time that I emceed something for SDSU when I worked up in Brookings, it was November.
Oh.
So we had heat instead. But it was a beautiful place anyway.
Yeah.
What's been the most the best theater that you've been in terms of the technical things available?
Oh.
Ooh.
That would probably... I mean, as of right now, probably this Somervold, Mary W. Somervold Hall.
Oh, yeah.
As well as, if I get a chance to at some point, I would hope the PAC 2 at SDSU.
Mm-hmm.
That theater is stunning.
Yeah.
Wow. When I got the tour of that, when Billy showed me around and everything, I'm like, they don't know how good they have it, these kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Nowadays, what is this?
Well, you know, a couple of years back during the summer, I helped out the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues, and they had their jazz camp then at O'Gorman.
Oh, yeah, that theater. And because that's basically...
It's like, this is a high school?
Because it was designed by the same person that did the pavilion, the Mary W. Somervold Hall.
Yeah, so that's excellent. In terms of coziness or the good vibes, what theater is the place that you like to perform?
As of right now, currently, the Worthing Dinner Theater has kind of been my station right now.
That's
been
a
lot of fun.
A fun, fun place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kid Mike Richards and everybody else that's on the board and so forth when they're talking about stuff. And I said, you know, you're marketing this whole thing wrong. And they go, huh? I said, you got to market the fact that go to South Dakota's best home-cooked meal you'll ever have. And we'll throw in a free show for you.
Basically.
That place is, we just absolutely love it. We already got our season tickets for next year. Bought those last weekend or 2 weekends ago, I think it was. When we were down there and for Death Trap and just
fun show.
Great show. What's been your favorite Old Town show to be in?
Ooh.
Because, you know, bread and butter down there is farces.
Yeah.
And lots of action. The blocking has to be just tremendous.
Just on time. Oh, my gosh.
Because it's always one door opening, somebody else coming through another door. And just missing things like that.
That would be probably Boeing.
Oh.
Where I was...
Loved it.
I never left the stage. Especially Act 2. I never left the stage. I only left the stage once during Act 1. Otherwise, I was on that puppy for a long time.
You know, another thing that I love about Old Town is that the cast is already out there.
Mm-hmm.
After the final bow, and so when people start going out, can't help but stop and say hello and tell people congratulations, wonderful job, bravo. I love that part of it.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, and I've not acted there. I did tell Megan this when we were down there, and I said, well, she says, have you acted here before? I said, well, not yet.
Yet being the operative word right there.
Yes, well, especially since I had to bow out of a production I was supposed to be in at the beginning of the year because of some laser eye surgeries. And I would have been in it with Aaron Sharp. And so he sent a wonderful voicemail afterwards, said, hey, you know, completely understand, so forth, but you know, I was really looking forward to working with you, being able to play with you. He says, but I do have a resolution. We'll just be in a different one together.
There we go.
Yeah, and we've already got a couple of picked out that just might be fit for us. So maybe I'll be acting with you sometime, Devin.
Yes.
Yes, that would be great. Devin and Dave, double D's.
That's right. Powerhouse. Power duo.
All right. Well, since it's your first time on the show, that means you get the traditional questions at the end.
Ooh.
There's two of them. How you answer the first one might determine whether we need to ask a second one.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we start off with when you're not in the arts and entertainment field.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like to be entertained?
Let's see. Usually, if we're going like hobbies, then type of a deal, I would say probably going out karaoke. Every now and then, trivia. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. The old Chasers, good times.
Yes, it is.
And what else? Hanging out, doing board games, big board gamer.
Okay.
Not video games, but okay. Board games.
All right.
Otherwise,
so.
Yeah. And then, or just staying at home, watching my Cirque du Soleil and being a happy camper.
Love
I love
Cirque. Oh, my goodness.
They're my future employer. They just don't know it yet.
Did you watch that series that they did about people going through auditioning and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Cirque is always putting on great stuff. And I love that attitude, too. They just don't know that they're my future employer.
That's right. I still have to send in that video audition.
So, you basically went to hobbies, so... don't have to ask any other hobbies, but let's go back to karaoke.
Yes.
And Cirque.
Mm-hmm.
So go to karaoke song.
Ooh. Usually I like to do, Sweet Transvestite from the old Rocky Horror Picture Show. That usually livens up the crowd at some point. and I can also gauge and be like, all right, how much libations have people had?
It's true.
So how comfortable can I get with them? and then also I've been pulling this one out more recently, which is Stairway. Led
really?
Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people just go, they just turn their heads and go, what? Well, first they're like, oh no, Stairway to Heaven. And then usually if it's a prolonged song, I usually kind of have a drinking game with this one. Mm. I like to, there's long musical breaks, which this one does.
Yeah.
I like to also just throw jokes out there, keep the crowd somewhat engaged. Cause usually it's like you hear something like Piano Man or Friends in Low Places. These things that last also about the same approximate amount of time. But are usually not done well, so now you're just struggling, waiting for that song to get through. And then people do usually the same thing, and then I go, ah, but it's done well, right. So now I have your attention. Aha!
Barry Manilow's Copacabana also has very long breaks.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been known to actually leave and go up to the bar and come back and finish it off. But also, quite often, anytime I get a break, especially if I'm I drink Jack Daniels.
Yes, you do.
As did the wonderful man in the picture behind you, Frank Sinatra.
Frankie Frank.
Oh, my. Francis Albert. And so if there's a break in a Frank song, then I'm toasting everybody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, one more what? That's what I'm going to be talking to the bartender about next.
I think, yeah, you usually get like a pitcher of like Coors or something like that. That
right.
And yeah. I'm like, the goal is to finish this pitcher by the end of the song. Yeah. I should have enough time.
All right, then. Cirque.
Yes.
Favorite.
Ooh. I would probably, I think it's one of the retired shows now. It was, I would say it's a tie between Kidam and also Verikai.
Oh, loved Verikai.
Verikai was so pretty.
Was amazing.
I've seen, I think, 5 of the shows live now.
Yeah.
Haven't seen any of the ones in Vegas live. I've seen... Works lovingly on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then whatever DVDs I can procure.
Yeah, I have not seen O.
Oh.
But I have heard it's just absolutely incredible.
I can send you a link through the YouTubes.
That's a dandy thing. Thank you, my friend. but I still have a soft spot in my heart for the first one I ever saw. Mystère.
I was going to guess, is it Mystère?
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I can
Or Alegria.
Alegria is awesome, too.
They just revived that.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So now it's kind of revamped.
Okay.
Still most of the same music, but also kind of, also revised some of the music in that as well.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to it. I can't wait to get a link. Deva Bassart, thank you so much.
Yes.
Appreciate you taking time and best wishes on everything coming your way on the stage, including, getting employed by Cirque.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
All right. And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment.
605-334-1463. Hot? No. Cute? No. Ruggedly handsome? Yes. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to my guests, Daya Thorne and Devin Bessart. As always, the biggest thank you goes to each of you for listening, downloading, sharing, and following. If you haven't so far, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Besides information about the show, you'll find out when Dave Holly Hour Trivia is going on at Chasers. For all 219 episodes, go online at DaveHollyHour.com. And by the way, use that search function on the website to look up when your favorite artists have been on before and listen to any of those previous episodes. As the Sioux Falls Arts Council says, together we art. As Arts South Dakota says, home is where the art is. As I say, put some art in your heart. Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by TJS Ceramic Studio, Serendipity Studio Gallery and Gifts, Chasers Food and Spirits, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Jesse Moffitt Entertainment, and the Sioux Falls Arts Council. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, simply buy Dave a cup of coffee. Go to DaveHollyHour.com and click on the coffee cup icon. Don't forget to stay up to date on the show by following on Instagram and Facebook. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.